With me in your Bibles to Luke 2. There we'll read the first 20 verses, with our focus this morning being mostly on the verses 10 and 11. Hear now God's holy word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the so part of reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2019 years ago, a child was born, Christ the Lord. The creator of the universe, the eternal God, entered human society as a baby. The creator of the universe put on humanity. The Lord of heaven came to live on earth. This birth was so monumental that it became the high point of history, the peak, the apex. All history before this birth is called BC, before Christ, and all history since is AD, Anno Domini, Latin for the year of the Lord. But sadly, the worldwide celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, which is called Christmas, has become so cluttered and so confused with paganism and personal indulgences that the Christ of Christmas is removed and the wonder and the joy of Christmas is forgotten. The world does not even want to have his name mentioned anymore. They want Christ out of the Christmas. Christ's glorious coming has given way to Santa Claus coming to town. This is so clear when we see how even newspapers and television have made Santa coming to town front page news. Everyone was following the NORAD Santa tracker to see where Santa is and how close he was coming to town. And while reported on in fun oftentimes, it still reflects what the world thinks Christmas is all about. Santa, they feel, is the one who brings joy to the world. Is what the parade this morning yet in Vancouver was all about. Everybody waiting for Santa to come down the street. Listen to a letter explaining to Virginia that yes, there is a Santa. The letter reads, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there was no Santa Claus. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We would have no enjoyment. Now, while we may find it foolish that the world around us thinks this way, it is also easy for us to get caught up with the preparations and the festivities of the season and forget the real meaning of the Christmas season. Christmas certainly isn't about Santa Claus coming into town. It is about a Savior born in the town of Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. I bring you God's word this morning with the following theme: the Christ of Christmas. Beloved, the old Christmas carol which we sung asked the question, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap? This is certainly a very important question that we need to ask. Who is this child born in Bethlehem? Who is this child whose birth established the world's calendars? Who is this child more widely known than any other child ever born? Who is this child whose life and work has impacted more souls than all the other influential people in all of history combined? Who is this child who determines the eternal destiny of every human being who has or ever will be born? Who is this child? Well, our passage here in Luke 2 announces clearly for us who this child is. In fact, heaven comes down with shouts of acclamation to announce who this child is to shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night. As humble as the surroundings of the newborn king may be, God on high is ensuring that the birth of his son into this world is not without manifestations of glory. One can only try and picture what a splendid and spectacular event this was for them. Unsuspecting, from out of nowhere, an angel appears to them. He comes upon them in the dark of the night, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And then, beloved, we get these beautiful words in our text in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Fear not. What glorious and wonderful words these are to hear. Fear not. With all the glory of the Lord shining upon them, expecting heaven to come down in judgment on them, heaven comes with these glorious words. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what is this good news of great joy? The angel tells them in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior has been born to you. This is who this child is. This is the high note of this entire passage. A Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Now, beloved, somebody at this point might ask the question, a Savior from what? This is a fair question. The word Savior implies that we need to be saved from something. Saved is a synonym for rescued. It is a synonym for delivered. And it implies that there's some kind of threatening condition. There's some kind of dangerous condition, some kind of desperate condition, some kind of deadly condition from which we need to be rescued. And so people today do not always know what we're talking about when we talk about needing to be saved. Saved from what? Since they see no dangerous situation to be saved from. And to complicate matters, today the gospel is often presented in such a way that people get the idea that we need to be rescued from our unfulfillment in life. Our lives are not just complete. There is some great level of disappointment in my life, and that needs to then get fixed. Our marriage really hasn't worked out the way we hoped it would. It's not the romantic bliss it maybe once was. Our kids have not turned out the way that maybe we wanted them to. They bring us heartache or grief. Our careers maybe haven't followed the path we wanted them to go. Our circumstances are not what we would like them maybe to be. And what people want is someone to just fix them, all of this kind of stuff. And many present Jesus as just being the Savior of your poor, unfulfilled life, or of your marriage, or your job, or your poor circumstances. But is this the good news of great joy that the angel is announcing to the shepherds? Not at all. The good news of great joy is that a Savior has been born who will save sinners from their sins and from eternal hell. The problem today is that many people have failed to comprehend how good the good news really is because they have ignored the bad news. They do not understand that they are sinners deserving the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. And since all mankind are sinners, the wages of our sin is eternal condemnation. This is pretty bad news. In fact, this is the worst kind of news that I can think of. Beloved, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need would have been military, God would have sent a soldier. If our greatest need had been for justice, God would have sent a judge. But our greatest need was forgiveness and redemption. And therefore, God sent a Savior. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 21, that Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Beloved, this has always been the good news of great joy. Jesus didn't come to be an example of nobility and morality and integrity. He didn't come to be an example of passivity. He didn't come to demonstrate patience and kindness and mercy and tenderness. Without a doubt, he certainly did all of that. But he came to be the Savior of the world. This is what makes Christ's birth the high point of redemptive history. This is the great moment in history that all of the Old Testament was moving forward to. A Savior would come, and he would take on the judgment of God for sinners. He would be punished in our place. As symbolically, the lamb died in the place of the sinner in the Old Testament sacrificial system. This lamb, the perfect, spotless, pure Lamb of God, would die for sinners. And he would die such a perfect death and bear sin so perfectly that never would there ever be again a need for another sacrifice. Jesus would be the Savior of the world by taking on the punishment for sinners. He would die under the execution of God's wrath. God literally would execute Jesus for your sins and for mine. And since the penalty was paid in full, God would be free to forgive us and take us to his eternal heaven and not send us to hell to bear the punishment for our sins, because Christ bore the punishment for us. We read in Colossians 1 verse 20, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Beloved, coming into the world as he did, he exchanged heaven's glory for earth's misery. He humbled himself. He made himself like us. But this never took away from who he was, God himself with us. His deity would be veiled, in which he would minister and suffer and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to do his Father's will, to satisfy the holy and the righteous demands of God the Father, to deliver his people from death to life. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Beloved, no one else could measure up to the fulfillment of the promises graciously given by God from the beginning. No one else could fulfill the messianic prophecies. No one else could be our prophet, priest, and king. No one else could be our one and only all-sufficient sacrifice, redeeming us and to continue in his high priestly work in heaven by his intercession. Only he, Christ the Lord, could restore peace with God for all his people. Only he, the child lying in a manger, could do all these things because he was God himself. And beloved, to ensure that the shepherds and all the world understood that this good news was coming from God himself, in case there was any doubt in the shepherds' minds whatsoever of all that had been said to them, the Lord sends this triumphant, this exclamation mark on all his words to the shepherds. God ensures in the minds of the shepherds, of all mankind, that his word, spoken by the angel, is the voice of God unquestionably, his true and his steadfast word. We read in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." All of heaven shouts forth in triumphant jubilation the glorious message of what has just been spoken of. Beloved, nothing can compare to what the shepherds heard that night. In the stillness of the night, in the midst of God's glory shining all around them, an army of the Lord sings forth his praise, more beautiful and more lofty and melodious than what man could possibly ever imagine. Here the heavenly host, who with the angel had waited in long expectation for this day now, with one harmonious voice, with a shout of acclamation, bear testimony to the Son of God, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. All of creation and all of God's works, from the beginning to the end of the world, are for his glory. But the redemption of his people through his Son is the greatest expression of God's love and demands all glory to be given to him alone. To God alone can all glory and honor be given for sending his only begotten Son into the world to save lost sinners, to bring on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is a hymn of praise to God, who in the gift of a Savior reveals his grace to men, the recipients of his favor. And the result of this glorious gift is declared to be peace. So what is this peace that is spoken of? It's not the kind of peace that the world is often looking for. This is not a peace on earth where there will no longer be any wars, like in Syria and Afghanistan and other war-torn countries. This is not a peace on our streets from crime or the many other atrocities that we hear. It is not an outward peace that man cultivates for themselves through the glory of human achievement. This is what the world often wants so much. But this is also why there are also many who, despite all the trappings of the season, look out on a bleak and chilly Christmas day, and they never experience the peace that is spoken of in this season that the angels sung about. So what is the nature of this peace that the angels are speaking of? Our answer comes in Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. There we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Beloved, this is the peace that the angels sang about. It is a peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has rescued us from the fiery pit of hell, has redeemed us from death, has removed the wrath of God from us so that we may have peace with him again. It is having peace with God, your maker. The miracle and the wonder of Christmas is that God invaded this world to rescue and to redeem his rebellious children. Leaving his throne in glory, the Son of God came into this world, a child and yet a king, to give his life for us so that we might be reconciled to God. This is the good news of great joy that we celebrate again today. Beloved, The world only sees a baby Jesus at Christmas time. For many, the nativity scene is just a picture to remind them that it is Christmas once more. But the Lord wants the whole world to know that the baby born in a manger is the gracious, indescribable gift from God, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ the Lord, who became poor so that through his poverty, you and I might become rich with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So how do we respond to all of this, beloved? Are we as excited as the shepherds were when they heard the good news? We read that when the shepherds saw the baby lying in a manger, they spread the word concerning him. And all who heard were amazed and marveled at what they had seen and heard. May we also, on this day, leave God's house amazed and glorifying and praising God for all the things that we also have heard once more. In the midst of all the activities that take place around this time and the gifts that we receive, may our hearts be filled with great joy for the greatest gift of all. For 219 years ago, was born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.